We are beginning this year with a series called Fearless Faith. We learned last week that fear is not the will of God for your life. We learned last week that fear does not come from God. Okay. We learned last week that there is something called a holy fear, where you need to trust in God and respect Him and put Him in a place of honor and reverence. That's a good thing. But we also learned about earthly fear that can really destroy our faith. In fact, the more fear you have, the less faith you have. And it's kind of like a teeter-totter. As the fear goes up, the faith goes down. As the faith goes up, the fear goes down. You can't have both at the same time. You've got to make a decision whether you're going to have fearless faith. And so as we talk about this subject today, we're going to look at the life of Joshua. And so every Sunday, we're going to look at a different character in the Bible, or we're going to look at a different situation or a passage of Scripture in the Bible. And we're going to walk through the Old Testament. We're going to look at Joshua for a couple of weeks. We're going to look at Samuel. We're going to look at Daniel for several weeks. And we're going to talk about some of those key stories in the Old Testament where men and women had fearless faith. And then as we get closer to Easter, we're going to transition to Jesus, the courage of Jesus. Did you know He had courage? He had that ability to stare the enemy down because He knew the power that He had. And so we're going to learn about the courage of Jesus, and then we're going to learn about the courage of the New Testament church and how they stood strong against the enemy. And so today we're going to look at the courage to stand firm against the enemy. We're going to look at Joshua, and we're going to ask the question, where did he get it? Where does he get his courage? I'd like some of that Joshua courage. Where I want to get it, see? Didn't you ask one of your friends or family when you saw they had a cool Seahawk jersey on? You go, where did you get that, right? Yeah, okay. And so you want to know where you could get what you saw somebody else have. And that's the question we're going to ask here today. So please turn to Joshua chapter 1, 5 through 9. And it's our tradition to stand when we read God's word. So please stand with me. Joshua chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Father in heaven, I thank you for these promises that you gave to Joshua. And I thank you that these promises are repeated all through your word, that it's your plan that your people would have fearless faith, that we would be strong and we'd be courageous. Lord God, teach us today from your word what that looks like for us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. So here's some news flash for you. You probably are not aware of this, but we are living in a culture that is in opposition to Christianity. Did you know that? We're living in a world that has an opposite worldview, okay, than the Christian worldview. The lifestyles, the priorities, the attitudes. We are living in an opposition culture, okay? As we have been talking about, we live in an upside-down world. From what Christ has called us to be, the rest of the world is upside down. So, John Ortberg's book on soul keeping, which I recommend highly, I just finished reading it this last week, The Keeping of the Soul. He says these words, we live on the planet of lost souls. Okay? And so, because of that, when we stand up for Christ, we're going to have opposition, are we not? So I would encourage all of you that in that mindset of opposition, like salmon going upstream, how can we have the courage of the Lord? How can we have the same kind of courage that Joshua had? And there's just three very simple principles today. It's not going to be complicated. Number one, we learned that God was with him. God was with him. That is the key. If you just finish reading the scripture with me, we see that principle just shouting out to Joshua as he's going to go into the promised land. He's going to lead the people of Israel. Deuteronomy 31:6 also says the words, Moses is talking, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. This promise, you can do this, Joshua, because you're not going to be alone. Now, why was this so important? Because Moses was the man for 40 years through the wilderness. I mean, he was the leader. He was the one that heard from God. He was the one who raised the staff. He was the one who told the people what God wanted them to do. Joshua was an amazing follower. He was a listener. He was a learner. He was a helper. He would be sent on missions. He did whatever Moses told him to do because he knew that Moses knew the plan. And now we have a problem as they enter the promised land. Joshua, I'm not coming with you. Moses would not go with them. No, that can't happen. We've always had Moses. Moses has always been the guy. Joshua's going, okay, wait a second. He said, probably breathing slowly. Okay, you want me to lead the people. I'm okay with that. I'm going to go in there. We're going to fight some battles. This is good. We've seen you already work. We've seen God work. Okay, good plan, Moses. We're going to do this together, right? No, I'm not going with you. And Joshua's heart, you can just see, just sinks. But Moses tells Joshua the same words we hear from the Word of God to us today, that God will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Found in Deuteronomy 31, also found in Hebrews 13:5. This is a principle for the Old Testament, God's people. It's a principle for the body of Christ. He will not leave you. Jesus said these words in Matthew 28:20. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. He says, go and make disciples. Here's the plan. And by the way, I'm going to go with you. Okay? There is not one thing that God calls you to do where he doesn't go with you. Not one thing where he says, hey, you're on your own. There's not one thing you're facing this morning where you have to face it alone. The Lord is with his people. Chapter 31, verse 23 of Deuteronomy. The Lord commissioned Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, be strong and courageous. I will be with you. I will be with you. You see, this isn't a missing ingredient. We have this theologically as every Christ follower. When you receive Christ, Jesus comes into your life, and he never leaves you. The Holy Spirit comes into your life. He never leaves you. But what we miss theologically is that we accept the truth, and we accept the principle. We accept the fact, but we don't live like that is part of the reality of our lives. Psalms 105 verse 4 says, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his presence continually. Psalm 105 verse 4. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek the Lord and his strength. It's interesting how so often we seek a lot of solutions in our lives, don't we? Oh, what I need to do is this, and I need to do that, and I need to do more of that. And all those might be very helpful. But did you do the first thing first? Seek the Lord first. Seek his strength. Seek his presence continually. Psalms 105, verse 4. Joshua 1:5 goes on. It says, just as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. And isn't it important for us to know, okay, I saw it work here. Moses had the presence of God. And the Lord says to Joshua, and you're going to have exactly the same thing. We forget that. When we read the stories in the Bible, We get so enamored with the Joshua stories and the Daniel stories and the Moses stories and the disciples stories that we forget God is God. He doesn't change, okay? And when he promised to be with these people, and then he promises to be with us, it's the same God, okay? It's not the big God in the Old Testament and the big God in the resurrection and then the little God for us, okay? It's the same God, and he's promising to be with us, just like he was with them. I will not leave you or forsake you, Joshua 1:5. Okay, now the word forsake there is very important. In the Hebrew, it means several ways to translate it. Let me give you some of the phrases. I will not drop you is one of the ways you can translate this word. Now, whenever I do a baby dedication, and I just love doing that here at our church, we do baby dedications on Sunday mornings. My prayer, Lord, help me not to drop it. I mean, sometimes they're kind of moving and they're squirming, and the handoff is very important. You know that fumble that happens in football? And the baby's leaving the mom and coming to me. Lord, help me not to drop it, okay? Because that will mess up a baby dedication. I'll tell you that right there. So here's the promise. God says to Joshua, I will not drop you. I will not abandon you. It's another translation. I will not walk away from you. I will not fail you. I will not give up on you. How often we feel that God is done with us and he's going to walk away. We have felt that maybe in human relationships. Maybe there was a boss that was excited about you and now they are firing you. Or maybe there was a spouse that's leaving. Or maybe there is a best friend that's no longer a BFF. And you go, what happened? And that happens in our human relationships, does it not? But God's word says, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Back to Joshua 1, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Now, did you notice in the Bible, did you notice in these scriptures that strength and courage go together? He doesn't say be courageous without being strong, because the strength comes then the courage, and the courage comes because of the strength. And what we find is this inner strength, and then that enables us to have the courage that we need to have to do what God has asked us to do. Paul tells us this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The I can do all things is the courage. It's an action. It's I'm going to move forward and do what God has asked me to do. Why? Because I have the strength. Be strong and courageous. Okay. David says this in 2 Samuel 22. This God is my strong refuge, for you equipped me with strength for the battle. So you gave me the strength, and then you equipped me to have the courage to go do what I need to do. Psalms 46, 1 and 2. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Strength produces courage. Then we find in Psalms 31, 24, be strong and let your heart take courage. Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 7, be strong and courageous. Don't you realize there's more with us than with them? So we have this awareness that we have the strength to take on the enemy, and then that produces this courage to actually do the battle. Strength and courage go together. If you're here this morning and you feel like you do not have the courage you need to do what God has asked you to do, then you need to get back to that place of receiving the strength that he has for you. Seek the Lord and his strength, Psalms 105:4. And then out of that strength, you're going to find the courage to do what he's asked you to do. So, Numbers 14, verse 9. The Lord is with us. This is Joshua. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Okay, they had the bad report from the 10 spies when they went into the promised land. And the 10 spies said, oh my goodness, we got giants in the land. We are like grasshoppers. We got to run. This is not going to work. It's not going to happen. And we got this bad report thing going on. Some of you have a bad report going on in your head right now. Oh, everything's going wrong. I got all these things going against me. The list of things that are negative are just long. Boy, I just can't move ahead. And the only answer to the bad report was this: the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Okay. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Chapter 27, verse 18. The Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit. So God does a miracle. In our humanity, we do not have the power. We do not have the strength. We do not have the courage. But when the Lord comes in a man, the Holy Spirit enters a man or woman of faith. Now we have a whole nother ingredient, do we not? You see, when the Holy Spirit is present and relied upon, you have some ingredients to deal with the enemy. Number one, you have power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will have power, okay? So it's not going to be you. It's going to be the Holy Spirit power. When the Holy Spirit is relied upon, you have wisdom from heaven. Deuteronomy 34, 9. You're going to have wisdom. Joshua was called a man of wisdom. Why? Because the Spirit was within him. You're going to have boldness. Acts 4, 31. It says when the Holy Spirit was filling the early church, they spoke the word of God with boldness. It's not coming from you. It's coming from God's Spirit in you. Romans 5, 5 says the Holy Spirit brings love and hope. So you're in a situation where everything is stacked against you. There's the worldly circumstances are not good. And you seek the Lord. You seek His strength. The Holy Spirit then empowers you. He gives you wisdom. He gives you boldness. He gives you love and hope in a situation that has no hope. And the presence of God in the man or woman of faith makes all the difference. It's not you. It's God in you. Okay. Now, I came across an end-time prophecy in Zechariah 8, chapter 8, verse 23. And it was an amazing description of what's going to happen in the end times, where things are going to get worse and worse and worse. By the way, we're in those times. And this is what it says. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from the nations of every tongue shall take hold of the robe of a Jew, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Things are going to get dark in our culture, and the things of the world and will not satisfy, and the philosophy of the world will not satisfy, and the choices of the world will not meet the real needs of the human heart and the human soul. And people will be seeking and searching for the solution that they have not found in this world, and they will discover that there are certain people where the Lord is with them. You see, that's what we are offering here at South Hills Church. We are not offering programs, though we have programs. We are not offering a nice, safe place to come and sing songs, though we have that. What we are offering, if you came in here this morning, what we are offering is this is our prayer that the Lord is here. Okay, and you're going to see that there's the presence of God and in the people of God in this place. And that, to me, is worth seeking after. John Ortberg, in his book about the soul, said this: we're living in this culture that is very self-oriented. It says, these are the philosophies you're going to hear around you. If you're empty, you need to fill yourself. If you're stressed, you need to learn how to take care of yourself. If you're on a job interview, you need to believe in yourself. If you're at the tattoo parlor, you need to learn to express yourself. If someone starts to criticize you, you have to love yourself. If you're not getting your way, you have to stand up for yourself. What should you do on a date? You ought to be yourself. And that's a human concept, isn't it? But what we find with Joshua is God doesn't tell Joshua, now just go out there and be yourself. What he tells Joshua is, you don't have to be afraid because I'm going to be with you. See, and that's the key right here to the courage. That's the key to fearless faith. Now, number two, very simple process here. God was with him. Now, Joshua, where did you get your courage? Well, God was with me. Number two, we find that God was the one who fought for him. We have battles with the enemy, do we not? So Joshua says, okay, I have this strength, and I have this courage, and I know that you're with me. Okay, but could you just fill in the gap just a little bit? How are we going to win? I know you're with me, but how are we going to really do this? Deuteronomy 1:30. The Lord your God who goes before you, see, he's going to be with you. I love this. Will himself fight for you. Oh, my. We got land of giants. We're the grasshoppers. How are we going to win this? Well, the Lord's going to fight for you. Remember that story of Jericho? I got my sword. It's all sharpened up, and I got my sling. I'm ready to fight. Joshua, how are we going to do this? Well, see, what you're going to do is you're going to walk around the walls. Okay, then we get to fight. Yeah, well, no, we're just going to watch the Lord do the battle. Okay, Psalms 118, verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Deuteronomy 2:25. This day I will begin to put the dread and fear of you on the peoples who are under the whole earth, who shall hear the report of you and shall tremble and be in anguish because of you. Rahab's in the town of Jericho is going, oh my goodness, you're the people of Israel? I have heard of you. White flag, I'm done. I'm not even going to try to fight. I want to be on your side, by the way. Can I work a deal here? Because I really need to be on your side, because I know the reputation that you have. Christ followers have a huge advantage. When you have the presence of God with you, and God is going to fight your battles for you, you have an emotional and mental advantage that the world does not have. Let me tell you what it looks like. Exodus 14:24, the Lord threw the Egyptian forces into a panic. I have not seen that movie, God and Kings. I don't want to see the movie, because what I've heard is it portrays not what God's word says. Okay. The Lord himself threw the Egyptian forces into a panic. It wasn't that they looked at the people of Israel and go, oh my, we're going to lose. No, they weren't impressed by the people of Israel. It was the Lord that was fighting the battle. Exodus 14, verse 14, the Lord will fight for you. And I hate this, but this is what God says so often. You have only to be silent. Okay, you don't have to manipulate the victory. You don't have to manufacture it. You don't have to force it. Many times, God's people are people of prayer, and then you see God work, okay? He will close doors that need to be closed. He will open doors that need to be opened. Deuteronomy 11:25, no one shall be able to stand against you. No one shall be able to stand against you. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Have we forgotten that? That the Lord your God has promised to fight the battles. That doesn't mean we don't do anything. We still need to be faithful workers. We still need to get up in the morning. We can't stay in bed and say, God, you take over the day. I'm just going to sleep here today. You can't do that. But you have this confidence that when you go into those discussions with people that do not believe, or you go into situations where people are in opposition, or you go into circumstances that are overwhelming, you realize that not only are you not alone, but the Lord, this is so important, the Lord is not with you and passive. The Lord is with you and active, okay? So he's got a plan, he's got a strategy, he's got an ability. Now, I told the children the story of the hailstones. Look at it with me in Joshua 10, verse 11. And as they fled before Israel, the Lord threw down large stones from heaven on them, and they died. There were more who died because of the hailstones than the sons of Israel killed with the sword. So, I mean, Joshua was thinking, man, we got some battle thing going on here. I got the moves, and we're going to, and the Lord says, that's okay, Joshua. You know, you're doing okay, but just let me remind you, I took out more people than you took out, okay? Don't forget that. In fact, in the New Testament, in Revelation chapter 16, verse 21, in the end times, before Christ comes to set up his throne, it says, great hailstones, about 100 pounds each, fell from heaven on people. Isaiah 30, verse 30, and the Lord God will cause his majestic voice to be heard. This is a prophecy about the end times. And the descending blow of his arm to be seen, and hailstones. That was the first time I'd seen that verse, was this week, where when we talk about the hailstones coming down, and according to Isaiah 30:30, that people on earth will actually see the arm of God throwing the hailstones. Isn't that something? They'll know it's not just Mother Nature. They'll know it's God. And there'll be an awareness of the judgment of God. Back to Joshua 10, verse 42. And Joshua captured all these kings and their land at one time because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. You know, Joshua understands, okay, the terrifying work of God. I was seeing an Indiana Jones movie recently, and I love that scene where, you know, the guy brings out this big, huge knife, you know, or sword or whatever. He's going to take out Indiana Jones, and he's mad, and he's growling, and he's got the sword, and the crowd is all around. And then Indiana Jones just casually pulls out a gun. Never bring a knife to a gunfight is the principle, right? Somebody told me this last week that that was not in the script. Did you know that? That the actor was having a problem with his system, and he really had to go to the bathroom. This is a true story. And so it was supposed to be this big knife fight, and Indiana Jones, the actor, had to go to the restroom really quick, and he wanted to get the scene over really quick, so he just pulled his gun out, shot him, and went to the bathroom. So it just changed the whole movie for me. Anyway, I wanted to share that with you. Never bring a knife to a gunfight. Remember that quote, okay? And so the Lord God always has the more powerful hand. Joshua 23:10. One man of you puts to flight 1,000, since it is the Lord your God who fights for you just as he promised you. You got outnumbered odds. One man, 1,000. We are in big trouble. Ready to run for the hills. Oh, I forgot. The Lord is with me, and he's going to fight for me. So now the odds have just changed. Exodus 14:25. Clogging their chariot wheels so that they drove heavily, and the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from before Israel." Why? For the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Okay. So let's talk just a moment. How does the Lord fight for us today? Where is our advantage? What kind of battle victory do we get because the Lord is fighting for us? I mean, we don't do the same battles that Joshua did, so how does this apply to us? Let me give you some quick principles. First of all, his word is powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. You can share the word of the Lord with somebody. You know, somebody might ask you, why are you not afraid? Why are you not upset? Why are you... You know, John Buck, you had opportunity on Thursday, did you not, with your motorcycle group, and John is dealing with cancer. Okay, John, why are you not afraid? And you had a privileged opportunity where a whole bunch of motorcycle guys and ladies, right? And they heard a word from John. It's my faith in Christ that made the difference, that I can face cancer because I have a faith in Jesus Christ. That comes from the Word of God. Second, His Spirit can bring conviction. John 16:8 says that the work of the Holy Spirit in the world is to convict people of sin. We can't do that. Man, I'm up against this person's lifestyle, this person's behavior. I don't know what to do with them. You pray, you stand on God's Word, and you trust that the Holy Spirit will convict them of sin. You don't have to convict them of sin. The Holy Spirit does His work quite well, actually. And you can find people that are far away in other places, and you're praying for them, and all of a sudden they're under conviction of the Holy Spirit because God is fighting the battle, not you. Okay? Governments are in His hands, Proverbs 21:1. Isn't that a great confidence? Oh, my goodness, what is Washington, D.C. doing now in Olympia? Oh, my goodness, and who's going to be our next president? And I don't know about the Supreme Court. What are they thinking? And oh, my goodness. Well, wait a second. The Lord is more powerful than any government, and we can trust in the God who can fight the battles that we cannot fight. Next, we find that miracles are possible. Luke 1:37, with the story of the virgin birth. And, well, with God, all things are possible. And so I can trust that God will fight a battle where all the odds are against us, and I believe in miracles still today. I believe that closed doors can open. Acts 5:19, where they were in jail and there was no way they were getting out. And the locks are firm and the gate is closed and the guards are powerful. And yet, that didn't stop God. The locks are unlocked and the gates are wide open and the disciples walk out right past the guards. And I believe today you might be facing a closed door, but there is the possibility with the hand of God fighting your battle for you that where you saw a closed door now will be opened. Lives can change. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The Lord can fight for us today because where there was maybe opposition at one time, now there is a tender heart. Where there was closed ears, now there's open ears. Where there's somebody that would never be a Christ follower, now they're sitting here with you in church. Amen. And we are all a testament of changed lives where people maybe prayed for us and God got a hold of us and our lives are different. Satan can be resisted because of the power of God. James 4:7. The Bible says you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's like this little kid going, come on, man, I'll take you on. But then he sees the dad behind. He goes, okay, I'm out of here. And every Christ follower in this room, when you resist the devil doesn't see you. He sees the Son of God in you and the King of kings and Lord of lords who has defeated him at the cross and the resurrection. And he will be resisted and he will flee. You have the Lord fighting your battle for you. Temptation can be overcome. And so the Lord is ready to fight our battles today as well. Number three, real quickly here. This is one where many times we bypass. We like these first two really well. But the third one is also key to his courage. And that's the power of God's word obeyed. So let's look closely at Joshua here for a moment. Deuteronomy 30, verse 14. But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. Okay? Where did Joshua get his strength? Where did he get his courage? Well, the word of God was in him. Psalms 119:11, David says, I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Where was the power of David to resist temptation? It was when he followed God's word. Psalms 1, verse 2, meditate on God's word day and night. Deuteronomy 34, verse 9, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. You see how that combination of knowing the right thing to do, the wisdom, and then doing it. Now, the wisdom comes from the word of God, does it not? Joshua 1:8 says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it on day and night. Psalms 119, verse 28, strengthen me according to your word. I have found that my strength and courage ratio goes up the more I'm into God's word. Because the word of God gives me confidence. Psalms 119:89, forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Now, this is so important because our culture is moving and shaking all the time, changing all the time. But I can go to God's word. 2,000 years ago, the early church trusted in the word of God, and I can trust in it today. 4,000 years ago, people of God trusted in the word of God, and I can trust. The word of God is consistent, okay? This is really funny. The director of the Frozen movie, how many of you know the Frozen movie? Okay. If you have children, you know the Frozen movie. The director, Jennifer Lee, said, when the movie first came out, she had all these families going, thank you, this is such a beautiful movie. My daughters, they sing it all the time. It is just so precious, so sweet. She was quoted just recently as saying that her dialogue with parents has completely changed upside down now. Parents now that greet her and they find out that she's the director of Frozen, they say, how do we get this song out of our family's life? It is just driving us all crazy. My daughters are singing it nonstop. And she has found that her conversation with parents now is, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. Now, isn't that interesting? In less than 1 year, it went from the best thing ever to how do we get this out of our lives? It is driving us crazy. Well, the philosophy is not something that lasts. And I have confidence today that the word of God stands firm. Chapter 8, verse 34, afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessing and the curse. Ooh, wait a second. You mean Joshua didn't skip over the tough parts? No. No personal editing. According to all that was written in the book of the law, Acts 20, 27, I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. That's very important. When you read the Bible, you don't have the privilege to edit it the way you want it edited. Like Thomas Jefferson. His Bible, he actually titled it called The Philosophy of Jesus. He wrote it in 1804, and he literally cut and pasted the Bible with a razor and glue. He cut out all the miracles of Jesus. He cut out all the resurrection story. He cut out any indications that Jesus was God, and he was left with 46 pages. Someone called this the Jack Sprat approach to Bible reading. In the English nursery rhyme, the character Jack Sprat could eat no fat. We take this approach, we pick and choose what we like in the Bible. We have a biblical diet. Well, I'm allergic to that story, and I don't like that one. And that makes me feel uncomfortable, so out, out, out. And then we find Joshua, verse 35 of Joshua chapter 8. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded that Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, and the women and the little ones and the sojourners who lived among them. Here we find one of the earliest children's ministries going on there, where Joshua made sure all the little kids were there when he read the whole word of God. Not one word, chapter 21, verse 45, not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. He read the whole thing, and then he watched God work, and as they trusted God's word, all the promises came to pass. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but my words will not pass away. Luke 21:33. Remember when we watched the children's musical, so well done, by Heather Generali and all the kids? And we saw all the decades, the 70s and the 80s, and we laughed. Nobody dresses that way anymore. Because the culture of the world is in constant change. But heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. You see, courage grows because we know God's word will never be out of date. Let me pray for you right now. Lord God, we come to you, and we admit that the fears of this world can be overwhelming. And so we seek the words of God that say, be strong and courageous. We ask for your help this morning. For we know that in ourselves we are not strong and we are not courageous. So we thank you. We thank you for your promises to us, that you will never leave us, you will always be with us, that you are ready to fight the battle for us, and you are ready with your word to empower us. Lord God, I pray for the Christ followers in this room, that they would leave this place with great courage. Lord, I pray if there's someone in this room that doesn't know you, they would seek you right now with their whole heart, that you are ready to come into their lives to make that difference, that powerful difference in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.